Mapping strategy. Iowa legislators looking ahead to January's new legislative session and next November's general election. A conversation with two state senators, Democratic Majority Leader Mike Gronstahl and Republican Minority Leader Jerry Bain, on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Iowa Bankers Association for personal, business, and commercial needs. Iowa banks help Iowans reach their financial goals. For decades, Iowa Press has brought you policymakers and decision makers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating 41 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television, this is the Friday, November 18 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Dean Borg.
When Iowa's General Assembly reconvenes on January 9th, there'll be something old and something new. The status quo is the Democrats' two-seat majority. That was assured a little over a week ago with Democrat Liz Mathis winning a special election in northern Linn County, holding on to a seat being vacated by resigning Democratic Senator Swati Dandekar. So while House Republicans are flexing a 20-seat majority, Senate Democrats are leveraging that two-seat edge to throttle any Republican steamrolling. But there are new Senate dynamics. Boone Senator Jerry Bain is taking over leading minority Republicans this session, replacing Sheraton's Paul McKinley and guiding Republican strategy for taking the majority in next November's election. Council Bluffs' Mike Gronstahl again leads the Senate's Democratic majority, hoping to hold that majority next election day. Gentlemen, welcome back to Iowa Press.
Thanks for talking about those dynamics.
Across the Iowa Press table, Associated Press senior political writer Mike Glover and Radio Iowa News director Kay Henderson.
Senator Gronstahl, let's start with you. The last session of the General Assembly gridlocked and lingered until the end of June. The political dynamics are exactly the same in the next session of the legislature. Why shouldn't we expect the same thing?
I think all of the leaders. I met with Jerry the other day, and met with Craig Paulson earlier this week. I think all of the leaders are interested in. We'd put it this way: none of us has, for the legislative session, May or June on our calendars. We're very interested in getting out on time. We're looking at maybe moving the funnel up a week or so, and this is the shorter session. I think both sides to some degree had to test each other, the Republican House, the Democratic Senate. I think we're happy that we were able to accomplish some good things, additional investments in education, hanging on to preschool, things like that. So we fought long and hard for things we thought are important for Iowa. This next year, to the extent we disagree, I think it's kind of like, okay, that's what we disagree on. That'll be one of the issues we talk about in our campaign.
Senator Bain, same question to you. The legislature essentially gridlocked in the last session. The numbers are exactly the same.
Exactly.
Why shouldn't we expect the same this year? And why shouldn't we look forward this to being a do-nothing session?
Well, I think everybody's excited to get jobs and job creation going for the state of Iowa. And I think that's going to be the focal point of it. We're going to work hard to pursue an agenda that does exactly that. And what we really want is for the discussion to occur. And so we're looking forward to the session. I think everybody has an interest in getting out early. We had considered moving the funnel up last year. Mm-hmm. That didn't get done, but this year it did. I think it's a great idea to move it up. That just makes everything speed up. In the legislative process, as you're both well aware, that can just delay and delay and
Senator
delay.
Gronstahl,
so getting
why
moved
shouldn't
up is
we,
a good idea.
Why shouldn't we expect this to be a do-nothing session?
Well, I think there are a couple things we really want to get done. I think we want to continue to pass legislation. We've got several bills that are sitting in the House on job creation in the state, focused on small businesses. We also passed a bill on red tape reduction that is languishing in the House. I think there are some of those kinds of issues we can come back to and look for common ground. I also think the governor had a task force, a summer kind of session on education, and there's going to be real interest in doing things to improve education in the state of Iowa. So I think we'll get some things done, but to the extent when you've got divided government, to the extent you can't find common ground, and there's a host of issues we can find common ground on, but to the extent we can't, especially in an election year, you kind of stake out your territory, and in the fall campaign you tell Iowans, why it's important to elect people of your party to pursue those issues.
Maine, let's put a finer point on this. He says there are issues about which you agree. Can you give us some specifics?
Well, I want to job creation. We're all interested in job creation. The question is going to be how do you pursue that the best, and what bills will actually do that the best? One of the things that was brought up the last session was property tax relief. I think that's a key. We can't have property tax rates that rival New York City and expect our entrepreneurs to get started and get rolling in business. So I think property taxes are an essential, integral part of that. We're going to be talking about it. And one of the things that happened last session is there was a plan hatched by the Senate Democrats. They talked about it, brought Senate over to the House. The House had a plan, brought it over to the Senate. We couldn't even discuss that bill. And I think that's one of the things we would like to see at least happen this year is the discussion of all ideas in property tax relief so that we can get all classes of property tax relieved and help those small businesses.
That brought a smile from you, Senator Gronsdahl. Why that grin? Why that smirk?
I'm confident we can get something done on this subject. We're ready to sit down and work on it if people are willing to compromise. I'm feeling very positive that we'll be able to get something done about commercial property taxes next session.
I did want to follow up on something you said earlier. You said that Republicans in the House and Democrats in the Senate were sort of testing one another in the 2011 session to find out where the boundaries were. What was the test between legislators and Governor Branstad? Do you now have a better working relationship with the governor or one that is not as conducive to finding agreement?
Better on some things, worse on others. the same we'd have if it was a Democratic governor. It's the nature of the institution, the executive branch against the legislative branch. There are, when I say testing each other, I think the Republicans in the House and the governor proposed doing away with the preschool program in the state of Iowa. We fought long and hard to keep that from happening, and in the end succeeded in preserving preschool in this state pretty much the way we have it. Slight reduction in the amount of resources for each student, but slight. So we were able to keep that. Republicans wanted 0% allowable growth for the next 2 years. So they say they care about education, but they said no new resources for schools in
the
state.
Well, that's bringing a grin from Senator Bain.
What I'm saying is the fact that we fought long and hard doesn't mean that we didn't accomplish something. We did. The House bill on community colleges, $25 million cut. The House bill on Regents institutions, $40 million cut. We were able to restore much of the money that goes to education in this state.
I want to know why he's grinning.
Well, I just grin when stuff hits me as funny, I guess. But reality is, he's going back to his old talking points again on this, doing away with preschool. Nobody said they were going to do away with preschool. It was a different way of funding for the preschool. And so that's an important distinction. Everybody understands that there's importance of brain research has shown development occurs zero to 5 years old. And everybody understands that. So that's not an issue. And preschool does help some children, no question about that. The only question was, how is it going to get paid for, and should people have to pay some themselves for it? That was the question. So it wasn't an issue of doing away with preschool. So you asked me why I grinned, that's why I grinned.
And that simply isn't true.
Well.
In scores of school districts in the state of Iowa, without the resources from the state for school-operated preschool programs, they would not have existed. In small-town Iowa, there would be no preschool for kids. It would have done away with it in scores of counties. Unless parents were willing to drive their kids 70-mile round trip, maybe it still works.
Senator Gronsdahl, let's take that off the table. You can save that for January.
You get a flavor of the discussion.
I've got it. Yeah. Let me ask you, Senator Bain, though. Don't you have some problem in the GOP caucus, the Republican caucus, being dysfunctional, too strong an analysis of the Republican caucus in the House and in the Senate, dysfunctional?
I don't even know how to answer that. Dysfunctional? I don't know what you mean by dysfunctional.
After you were elected, one of your Republican colleagues came by the reporters sitting in the Iowa Senate and said, nothing has changed, the status quo has been maintained, and he was unhappy that you were elected. That doesn't seem to me to be everyone singing from the same hymn.
All I can tell you is I visited with every single member of the caucus, and we are 100% united for a pro-growth agenda increasing jobs in the state and a laser vision on looking at the 2012 elections to illustrate the differences that the ideas that the Republicans have versus the obstruction that's been going on in the Senate. That's what we're going to focus on, and we are in 100% agreement. So to refer to that as dysfunctional, I would take issue with that. I would say, no, that's not accurate.
Senator Gronstall, the governor has now, he came up with his teacher pay plan, a multi-tiered method of paying teachers, linking their pay to performance in the classroom. The governor has now taken that off the table. Does that mean that that issue is off the table for legislators, the whole notion of teacher pay?
I think it's pretty clear we don't yet have a blueprint from the governor. We have an outline. They talk about a blueprint, but it's not really a blueprint. It's an outline, and they're taking pieces of the outline off. I still think there are some good things we can do in education and starting at preschool and going through college. So I think there are some real opportunities to make sure that our children in this state get a ticket to a better life.
But
I think we have to keep doing that. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see some of the ideas of the governor. You're going to see some ideas generated by legislators, both Democratic and Republican legislators.
Will there be a significant increase in teacher pay as part of whatever you do on education reform?
We obviously have to work with the different players and find common ground on that. I think there should be. An effort. I think there should be an effort to do that. Well, I don't get to decide what Governor Branstad will sign or what the Republican House will pass.
Senator Bain, same question to you. The governor has now taken his teacher pay plan off the table. Does that effectively kill it in the legislature?
It all depends on the plan that comes out and as the legislature gets the discussion. That's one of the things I've been so adamant about having is the discussion. Let the House examine it. Let the Senate examine it. Let's talk about it. Let's have a free and open discussion. Let's don't kill bills before we've had a discussion. And that's one of the things I like to talk about is all the bills that got killed.
Yes, and Senator Gronstall.
And we like to talk about all the bills that Democrats passed that got killed in the House. You know, we have the same gripe, Jerry.
Senator Gronstall, a question to you is if you do not do some kind of a significant overhaul of the way teachers are paid, how can you call education a centerpiece of the next session of the legislature?
Mike, I think it's important on education for us to take a real look at the data. I think all Iowans are concerned about the quality of school. I think overall Iowa has a pretty good system of education. I think we need if there was anything we heard at the Education Summit, it was there are no silver bullets. You don't pass one year a piece of legislation that says, okay, education's now fixed. It's got to be a multi-year effort. The states that have been successful have been a decade, two decades, to move themselves up in those ranks. So I think we've got to take a long view on this and talk about what we can do to improve outcomes in education. And it's certainly not all about money. Some of it's about better parent involvement. Some of it's about stronger leaders in schools. So I don't think it's all about money. But I think we've got to take the long view and say we're going to continue to build on the strengths of Iowa's system. You know, Iowa's actually pretty good in some respects. We don't have very many dropout factories in this state. We graduate more kids than most schools in the country. If that's a measure, kids actually getting a degree, a high school diploma, Iowa ranks pretty close to the top, and that's good. There are some challenges in terms of more challenging courses, more rigor in high school, those kinds of things. And there is this assembling a decent preschool program on the other end of the spectrum.
Let's shift gears. Senator Bain, Governor Branstad assembled a Blue Ribbon Task Force, asked them to look at the state's transportation system.
Yes.
They recommended an 8 to 10 cent per gallon increase in the gas tax. The governor has essentially killed that bill. Would Republicans have ever supported a gas tax increase?
I think it depends totally on the circumstances. I think you really have to look at the situation of the roads, which the task force did. But then I also think you have to do exactly what the governor's doing, and I want to give him credit for doing that. Frankly, he said we need to look at the Department of Transportation and be sure the administration is properly run, and he's looking for reductions in that. Iowa taxpayers have had to tighten their belts. I think government should do no less, and I think that's exactly what they're doing. Also, I think we need to examine exactly how every single penny is spent before we even consider a gas tax increase. I think that's absolutely critical. For example, there are sometimes strings attached to federal money. And there is a possibility that we can get a waiver on some of those so that the money can go directly to the roads and fix the bridges and do the things it needs to do, rather than sometimes you have things that are done just for looks and that sort of deal. So we want to be sure that every single penny is spent appropriately first. And I think that's what you go to. There have been a lot of discussion about the gas tax per se. And the argument, of course, is that people from out of state pay it too. Iowans shouldn't be the only ones that have to pay for their roads. We've heard the discussion. But I think before we should even come to Iowans and say they get a tax increase, we better be sure every dime is spent appropriately.
Senator Gronstahl, is there $50 million in savings in the Iowa DOT's budget to shift to road and bridge construction maintenance projects?
I seriously doubt there's $50 million in terms of the overall administration at DOT. We actually went through an effort about 10 years ago where we did pretty significantly change the way the DOT operated and pretty dramatically reduce their overall expenses. I think it was to the tune of about $15 million about 10 years ago. So $15 million in administrative savings. And I'm all for looking at those savings. I kind of look at my community, and I've talked to local business leaders in our community, and they're concerned that our interstate system around Council Bluffs is going to be torn up at the current rate of reconstruction and maintenance. It's going to be torn up.
What does that mean, Senator Gronstahl? Are you going to press for a gas tax increase?
It'll take 25 years to finish rebuilding the interstate around Council Bluffs. I'll be 85 years old. So I personally, that's the kind of issue this is. It is a different issue in every district. Some districts, they've got adequate roads. They don't really particularly see the need for it. So I think there's going to be some that are for it, some that are against it. But it's pretty clear the governor has simply taken it off the table.
So Democrats are not going to stick there?
I don't know why we'd pursue something when the governor said publicly, and been pressed on it when the governor said publicly, no, we're going to wait a year. Well, why would we go down that road, so to speak?
Well, Senator Bain, go ahead.
Well, just to see if we can find a savings too. I think it's appropriate. I think he did the right thing,
taking it off the table.
Absolutely.
So you don't anticipate any discussion this session on gas tax increase.
Precisely.
What about education? You made a pain here a few minutes ago to correct Senator Gronstahl on preschool funding and the interpretation of what was anticipated. Do you think that is off the table entirely during this session?
Well, I don't think hardly anything is ever off the table. One of the things I think Mike would even agree with me on is that there's hardly anything that's ever dead in the legislature. There are things that can be resurrected almost any time. But not specifically on that necessarily. I just think the whole education concept is going to be important. You know, we've slipped from first in the nation down to 25th. One of the things we really need to concentrate on is student achievement and the way you measure that student achievement. We talked earlier about graduation rates and all that sort of stuff, but if you graduate and your diploma doesn't mean much, that doesn't help much. And so we need to consider exactly what our 12th graders are learning, and when they graduate, are they prepared for college, and are they prepared to enter the working world? And I think that's a critical part of the education discussion.
Senator Bain, I'd like to go back to something you mentioned earlier. You said you'd like to have property taxes as a big focus of debate during the upcoming session.
Correct.
The last session of the legislature, there was an effort to lower commercial property taxes.
Precisely.
But there was no way you could find to lower commercial property taxes without shifting the burden to other classes of property. How has that dynamic changed?
Well, that's, again, I want to point out that the discussion stopped. That's what I want to have, is the discussion, so we can explore ways to look at that. If you look at the complicated, I mean, that property tax system, you'll have to agree, is one of the most convoluted.
Of course it is, but fundamentally, how do you lower commercial property taxes without shifting the burden to residential and agriculture?
It depends on how you set it up. What you're going to try to do is make it so you can either use general fund money or you can help reduce the costs in other places.
Mike, that's exactly what the Senate version did. It provided the resources from the state to cover the losses to local governments so that there was no tax shift. And that's one of the reasons the Senate bill had, I think, 43 votes. It had broad bipartisan support because it was a real property tax cut.
Senator Bain?
And It didn't provide any tax shift.
Senator Bain.
But the whole idea in reducing property taxes is to encourage entrepreneurship and encourage job development. Their plan had a trigger. Small businesses require a constant deal that they can take. They have to know what's coming up next year. They can't take a plan to the bank that says, well, it depends on if the state revenue goes up by four. There was a trigger in there, and I don't remember exactly what the trigger was. But the point is, there was a trigger on that. You had to go with a form and apply for it. Those types of things are not anything that is going to make a difference to a business. That's not going to create jobs. That's the problem with it. You have to have something that is going to be uniform, and you don't try to pick winners and losers.
Senator Grosso?
If trigger's the problem, we can solve that.
How?
Get rid of the trigger. We are ready, willing, and able. We have offered repeated compromises on this. We have had the discussion. To suggest we haven't had a discussion on property taxes, we've had it. We passed that bill in the Senate. You guys got to offer amendments. That discussion's been had. It was passed over to the House, and the House wouldn't take up our version.
Well, looks like we've achieved a compromise right here. What else can we talk about?
I actually think that's my point. That's why I think we can accomplish something next session. I appreciate the concerns about the trigger. By the way, we picked a trigger that was lower than the governor's estimates of what revenue will grow by. We picked a trigger that was lower, but I appreciate if that's the concern, if the trigger's the concern. I think there's actually a way we can find common ground on it. But I'd also say, if our efforts are to concentrate on giant Wall Street businesses as opposed to Main Street businesses in Iowa, I think it's better to bet on Main Street businesses in Iowa.
Precisely the point of the House plan, though. Is it's not about picking winners and losers. It's not trying to establish degrees where this goes. It's broad-based so that it fits. 60 to 70% of all businesses are small businesses. You want something that's going to apply on a uniform basis that they're going to have the ability to go to their banker and talk about rather than something that they just cannot rely on.
Okay. One other tax.
And you can rely on it. I don't get your objection unless it's you're more worried about Wall Street than Main Street.
We'll let you negotiate on that later, Kay.
One of the other tax issues that came up last year was income taxes.
Yep.
The House came up with one plan. The Senate came up with something else. Is there any prospect that Iowans will see their income taxes reduced, Senator Bain?
There's always prospects. And that's where it comes up to the discussion.
Absolutely.
I think everything
should be on the
table. If
you're going to do property tax reform, you're going to actually address income tax reform?
I think we should talk about it. I think we should have the discussion.
Action. Will there be action?
I don't know. That's why you have the discussion. You find out where there's common ground, and if you can move forward, you can. That's why you have the discussion. That's what I'm promoting.
Senator Gronstall, do you see any common ground between those two disparate plans that were introduced last year?
I do see one common ground that got vetoed by the governor, and that was the earned income tax credit for the lowest income Iowans. We passed significant relief in income taxes for companies, for businesses, for farmers, and in terms of coupling with federal tax code. Significant steps there. The governor vetoed our bill on the earned income tax credit. That's one that passed the House, the Senate twice, and broad bipartisan support for it. The lowest income Iowans getting a break on their income taxes, we think that made sense.
Senator Grosso, way too many
issues. And we'll pursue that again.
Way too many issues and way too little time. Last session, you refused to allow debate on the issue of gay marriage. Will you do so again in the next session?
Yes.
Senator Bain, is that a winner politically for Republicans? We just had a special Senate election.
It's not so much an issue whether it's a winner or a loser politically. The concept is, should the debate be allowed? And as I've stated previously on other issues, I believe the debate should be allowed. There are only 150 legislators, and the way we vote in the booth will not probably affect the outcome. The question is, should Iowans get to vote on it? That's all we're discussing. We're not discussing whether that constitutional amendment would pass or not pass. We're just discussing, should Iowans get a vote on it? My position is absolutely Iowans should get a vote on that, and I think it's outrageous that he's going to say
Senator Rostel, why shouldn't?
People's rights should not be put to a popular vote. If you can put my rights to a popular vote of the people, then I can put your rights to a popular vote of the people. And eventually, we didn't put slavery to a vote of the people in Iowa. We didn't put put the right to go to a school in your neighborhood to a vote of the people of Iowa. We didn't put public accommodations law to a vote of the people in Iowa. The Supreme Court said certain inalienable rights. And you when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, you don't say for all except for gay people. You don't say that. That's what this is about. And you don't put that, and you don't put, yes it is. And you don't put that, and you don't put that up to a vote of the people. If churches are not required to marry anybody, I just think it's fundamentally wrong to put to a pop. It's the whole principle
Kay
of the Constitution.
Kay has another hot button issue,
to protect people's individual rights. That's right. The Constitution's to protect.
Senator Boehner, there are people in the Republican caucus who would like to see new abortion restrictions. Will you press to have the Senate consider new abortion restrictions?
Well, if you're specifically talking about that crazy doctor over in Nebraska that wanted to come into Iowa, absolutely. We should bar him from coming into the state, absolutely, positively, and we will do what we can in that regard. Now, the Senate made it worse last year by bringing up the bill they talked about. Instead of the ban that the House had, they provided a blueprint for this guy to come in. Now, obviously, it's a little bit more of a complicated blueprint than what he had before, but it is a blueprint nevertheless, and if he follows it, he can get his... We turned this place into the mecca of late-term abortion.
That's actually nonsense.
No, it's accurate.
Jerry, it's nonsense. The bill the House passed, blatantly unconstitutional, would have been struck down by the Court of Appeals in hours after its passage. We passed a bill in the Senate that would have effectively kept Carhart completely out of Iowa. He never would have come here. If the House had passed that bill, it would have happened. Now, I don't think Carhart was ever really coming to Iowa in the first place. This is one of those issues that people like to drum up. Let's talk about the reality. Six women in 2009, the year for which we have statistics, most recent statistics, six women had late-term abortions. They were all done at U of I hospitals and clinics. They're not done in clinics across the state. They were all done in one place in the Iowa, and they were all for women that desperately wanted to be pregnant, and something had gone tragically wrong with the pregnancy.
We're out of time, and I just want to, despite your disagreements here, which have been sharp, I sense a rapport here between the two of you that I haven't seen very often. Is the new dynamic with Senator Boehner, and we've only got about 10 seconds, going to be better in this session?
They're going to be whatever they're going to be, but we had a meeting just the day before yesterday. We had a good meeting. I talked to him about changing the funnel. He said, hey, I think that's a good idea. 80% of what we deal with in the legislature is not partisan. What we talk about on this show, it's probably 90% partisan.
Thanks so much for being with
Thank
us
you.
Today.
Appreciate it very much.
On our next edition of Iowa Press, we're talking with incumbent 5th District Congressman Steve King. Big issues facing him in Congress and back in Western Iowa as he's running for re-election against Democratic challenger Christy Vilsack. Steve King, next weekend, usual time, 7:30 Friday night, 11:30 Sunday morning. I'm Dean Borg. Thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Iowa Bankers Association for personal, business, and commercial needs. Iowa banks help Iowans reach their financial goals.